So we are talking about the seven principles today. I just wanted to give you a quick tour of where you could find our principles. Just like the chalices in the church, once you start looking for them, you see them everywhere. It makes for a good game of I Spy. The first place I would direct you to is the back of your order of service. For this service, we bolded the print just so you can differentiate it from the right relations covenant. This is always here every week, just so you know it. Another place you can find the principles and the six sources is in both hymnals. They're like one page before the beginning of all of the songs. So that's always an easy place to find them as well. We also have, I don't know if you guys have seen these, little business card size pamphlets. And we have some by the exit if you want to grab any on the way out. So this beige one has the exact principles on it. And this red one has principles throughout. It's 10 beliefs that are written out that kind of go more into UU theology, but it has all the beliefs kind of interwoven in those. So they're really handy and easy if you just want something to carry on your person or whatever. So we are going to do a fun, interactive, participatory situation right now. So again, we're going to be asking for some brave volunteers. But would the seven chalice lighter people come up? And I need a couple more. So seven principal lighters that know you're coming, come on up. Let's see. I think we have enough. Perfect. Awesome. If everybody could get behind a candle, that would be great. Wonderful. Thank you. So I'm going to invite the congregation in a minute to do a call and response with us. What we are going to do, and I don't have a slide for this, so you got to bear with me. We've reduced the piece to make it a little less confusing since last sermon. So what we're going to do is these lovely people are going to, we are going to say, we, the congregation, affirm, and then Susan will start us off with lighting the candle, and then she will say the principle. And then we will start it all over again and say, we, the congregation, affirm. Can people practice that with me? We, the congregation, affirm. Wonderful. Okay. So are we ready to go? Does that make sense? Okay, let's start with Susan. So, we, the congregation, affirm
the inherent worth and dignity of each person.
Wonderful. Okay. We, the congregation, affirm
justice, equity, and compassion in human relations.
We, the congregation, affirm
acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations.
We, the congregation, affirm. We're getting good at this.
A free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
We, the congregation, affirm
the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large.
We, the congregation, affirm
the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
We, the congregation, affirm
respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Can we give the chalice lighters a hand and give yourselves a hand for making it through this call and response? Excellent job. Thank you. You can take your seats now. Good. Although I'm a lifelong UU, I am always working on my elevator speech when people ask the question that strikes fear and trepidation in even the most faithful. What is UU? I always think if it's an elevator speech I need to give, please let me be in the tallest building with the slowest elevator, so I might give our faith a fighting chance of explanation. I've used different points of entry for this question, like the actual definition. So Unitarian means one God, and Universalist means everyone gets into heaven, no exception. And yes, they were two separate religions that got married into one faith in 1961. Sometimes I take the justice route, discussing the Side of Love campaign and the work we are known for with the LGBTQI community and women's rights, our environmental work, and how we are actively working on dismantling white supremacy. Most of the time, I talk about many belief systems found in our congregations and end up talking about the seven principles. Now, has anyone ever experienced themselves trying to talk or remember the seven principles? Yeah. This is usually how it goes. So most of us can remember the first one. The inherent dignity and worth of each person. But then often we get flustered by the second or third or maybe even the fourth. We've remembered to the fourth and try and rush to the seventh principle. And we are all a part of the interdependent web. Anybody been there? So I have a wonderfully introverted friend who is passionately UU. If anyone ever asks him about what it is, he just opens his wallet, gives them the seven principle card, and directs them to read and discuss. And that's kind of how he opens it up. So it's always interesting to me. So I'm always interested in how UUs describe their faith and try and break down the complexity of our faith into an elevator speech that makes the listening party excited to hear more. Although I'm always trying to keep it simple, I'm proud of the fact that our faith has layers and complexity. And like all religions, has a past, a present, and a future. So if you can humor me one last time and turn over your order of service for a second look at the principles with me. This is the Sue SparkNote version. So I see the seven principles as a framework from which we choose to live our lives that reflects our ethics, and we are people that are invested in responsible and accountable relationships with ourselves, with each other, and with the larger world. So the first principle, I always like do the fingers, I don't know why, maybe I don't know, do people speak with their hands sometimes? The first principle is each person. So I think of everything that has to do with individuality in one. The second principle is good relationships. So that's our inner circle, how we're connecting with people. It's the beginning of community. The third principle is we believe in many spiritual paths. So I think of community with three fingers. The fourth principle I think of as life meaning. We each have a right to seek, find, and name what is most meaningful to each of us. The fifth principle, all voices matter. They all matter. And my little side note with that is that dissent is a part of healthy community. So we like voices, and it's really important for us to have our own opinions, as we saw with the kids earlier about ice cream. The sixth principle, I think of as world community. So not only is it important that we are free and our rights are upheld and connected, but it goes beyond not just ourselves, our own individual community, our towns, but it should be extended to the entire world, that everyone is entitled to peace and freedom and justice. The seventh principle, we're all connected. And all that we do or not do affects the whole. So this is environmentally speaking, in relationship, in our actions, deeds, and even our intentions. We are connected in an interdependent way. We are not islands, and we're not merged in dependence with one another. We rely on one another in an interdependent fashion. So, do you have a favorite principle? Anybody? Okay, no one has a favorite principle. That's fine. I encourage you to, throughout this time, think about your connect or disconnect with any of these principles. Or perhaps you have a few more frameworks that work for you that encompass how you live your life. A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior, or for a chain of reasoning. But I like to think of our seven principles as a frame or a lens from which to view the world. So the first principle, I carry the first principle like a touchstone. I just carry it with me wherever I go. It's like I mentioned before, the easiest to remember. but I do believe in the inherent dignity and worth of each person. And I think of this as we are all holy individuals, that each of us have this holy spark within us that is embodied in a very particular way that carries its own brilliance. When I was a UU teen, I organized a lot of conferences for the UUs in the eastern part of Massachusetts. This individuality was easily expressed in our colorful outfits, in our need to be expressive and talk about the things that we felt was most going on in the world. And there was always an encouragement to respect each person's personal individuality and personal, like, beauty of personhood. Difference was expected and celebrated. That was where I really, like, understood the first principle of, wow, look at this wonderful, diverse crowd. The second principle, as I said before, I think of as good relationship, and in our one-on-one relationship, so we've got justice and equity and compassion in that one. So I learned the first principle a little later in my life, in my teen years. I would imagine that only children probably learn the first principle pretty early on in life, but 9 months before I was born, I was already in community with my twin brother. So I was working on sharing a very small space at the time. And I've always been aware that there's another, there are other people in the world from even before I was born. My brother was my best friend in community for the first several years of my life, and we played all the time. I had a speech impediment growing up, so he would always translate Sioux speak to the rest of the world if they didn't understand what I was talking about. And being a twin and having an older sister was the beginning of being community-oriented and learning about covenant. So sharing was a part of life, and although we tested this rule often, especially when there were things like the last cookie, we mostly knew about covenant. So the third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement of spiritual growth. In the big church in Massachusetts I grew up in, the intergenerational aspect of having adult mentors and peers in youth groups, there was a regional community, we went to UU retreat centers, but what a wonderful thing to have this intergenerational group of people to learn and connect with. That's always such a rich, wonderful thing about congregations, is we have all ages, all different walks of life going on, and it's just, that was something that was such a wonderful thing to see how people were living out their spiritual lives, what their spiritual paths were, and be able to talk with people about do you have these UU questions that I have in my heart? And be able to kind of, it was just such a wonderful thing, and I affirm that in this congregation as well, because I see just such a rich community going on here. As a little girl in one of my Sunday school classes, we were given the task, the monstrous task of drawing God. I was overwhelmed at the moment. Did I believe in God? Was there a God? Is there a goddess? Is there an essence? Is it the spirit of life? Like, it was very anxiety-producing when, as a little girl. And my friends that were not UU, they had a job description for God. They had a race for God. They had a gender for God. And, it's interesting, like, that has been something that over time, I've been so grateful that that was a question posed to me. It's one of the beautiful things about our faith, too, is really thinking about what is it that you work with for connecting and not connecting. There are many different opinions and different faith paths, even in this room, and that's a beautiful thing. The first phrase of my credo at the end of my high school coming of age group was, I don't know if there is a God. The encouragement of spiritual growth in the coming of age program and just all growing up was so profound, and many of the lifelong UUs that I've talked to always come back to the program where you get to visit other houses of faith. That it's so powerful as someone growing up to be able to experience that, the world religions, having an idea of all the different types of ways that you can be connected religiously or not, and even exploring, like we have options of exploring secular ways of being spiritual, and so that's something that has resonated with a lot of people I know, and they take that with them as a touchstone for them in their lives as they grow. So encouragement of spiritual growth, I want to emphasize this as it captures a part of my own theology, which is we all have the capacity to evolve. This is just, it's such an important thing for me. Our faith does not assume that we have all the answers. It allows for new knowledge, for science, and new possibilities. As a kid, I had a lot of brushes with the holy and mystical moments in nature. But until I discovered Fuller and Emerson and Thoreau, I did not have the right words to even describe what I was experiencing. Nature was one of my first forms of scripture. For a while, I believed I was an atheist because most of the theists I knew had a theology that did not strike me as holy or grounded or life-giving in any way. Now, I was raised by a boisterous Bostonian humanist mother and a Lutheran theist father that was a bit more private about matters of the faith. So, like many UUs, I had a multi-faith household. When I was little and about to go to bed, my dad and I would take turns telling each other stories. And at the end, we would recite the Lord's Prayer before we said goodnight. That was my introduction to prayer. And later in life, I was startled to discover not only was I the praying type, but it was something that I experienced as helpful and powerful during some of life's most challenging moments. But I had to claim and own that my prayer life looked different than what I had seen demonstrated as traditional prayer practice, and found that my own UU technique was just as fruitful as anybody else's. It took me my whole life to really define what is holy, but there were moments in seminary and growing up where I was aching for more companions that experienced the divine in ordinary life moments, in nature, the holy as love, or the holy as a verb. I had not outgrown, and this is the thing, is I have not outgrown my UU faith because it grows too. And that's just such a beautiful thing. We are an evolving people, and we are an evolving faith, and that's a part of what the living tradition is. It's living, it's active, we're connected to it. My mother's deep humanism profoundly influenced me growing up. I knew she was a staunch New England UU, faithful, devoted, spiritual, but she was also no nonsense. And I never knew if talking about God was appropriate for this reason-filled woman. I would not be surprised if her faith views have evolved since my experience of her as a child. Having done some reading of UU historic figures, I realized my mom's theology was informed by the teaching of preacher William Ellery Channing and humanist Curtis Reese. Channing circulated this idea that we all carry not original sin, but original blessing, just by being in existence. Sounds like the first principle a little bit, doesn't it? Reese, like many other humanists, wrote inspiringly about the belief in human potential, agency, or more easily put, the power of the people. UU historian and minister Dr. Susan Ritchie once explained that she was once described by a boss as someone who had grandiose expectations of human beings, and she should really take care of those unrealistic expectations. As a lifelong UU, I deeply resonated with that story and found it went well with the phrase some UUs use to say that we love the hell out of people, referring to our fierce way of loving and circulating compassion. As a faithful people who grieve the sufferings of the world, we don't give up, but we get up and find creative ways to bring it, in whatever way or shape we can, with our passion, our tenderness, our knowledge, our communication, or just the arduous dedication of showing up every day. Threaded throughout all of the seven UU principles is that we are a passionate, questioning, diligent people that embrace our living tradition in deep covenant with ourselves, each other, and the larger world that surrounds us. Whether you have a favorite principle or not, I hope this service has lifted up new ways for you to engage with them. Our faith is grounded with deep roots, and on those hopeful days, with wings that set us free. But the rest of the time, we are embracing the living tradition. And to me, Thich Nhat Hanh expresses this so succinctly. He says, it's not about walking on the water, but about finding ways of walking on the green earth. Amen, and may it be so.